And it was not long.
You didn't
A
get
month.
picked for the dance.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I didn't get picked.
those.
I'm like, you know what? It's too much. Too much effort. Probably not. I'm probably doing it wrong. There's probably something I need to do. And but the fact that I now that you now have to pay to apply for jobs prevented me from going further and trying more, because I'm just wasting dollars trying to compete with people that I know I'm not going to come down to that salary.
Hey, this is William Tincup and Ryan Leary. You're listening to the Use Case Podcast. Ben's with us today. Ben, would you do us a favor and introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, William. Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having me. My name is Ben Huffman. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Contra, Contra.com.
All right, Contra.com. I haven't looked at the website. I have no idea what it does.
Oh,
or you
I
do.
I have.
You?
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously?
It's pretty cool. These two little guys, they run around the screen and they jump up mountains and they shoot.
You remember
people?
That game that was on like the old phones? It was Snake.
We're not talking about Contra.
We're not, no.
All right. Well,
so,
then I got nothing to
Ben,
do.
Ben, you
got to
take us into it. What does Contra do? What problem do you solve?
Yeah, so Contra is a professional platform for skills. So if you think about LinkedIn or Fiverr or Upwork, we're complementary to a lot of these platforms. But you know, on LinkedIn, you post the roles that you've had at previous companies. You know, that's something that has been kind of the standard for the world of work for the last who knows how long. On Contra, we're rethinking this. So we saw that there's a fundamental change in the way we all work. And today, employers are looking for skills. They're not looking for, you know, where have you been? What have you, you know, done in the past? They're looking for, hey, like, what can you do in the future? And what are your skills? And so if you think about Contra, we're a platform for independent professionals to showcase their skills and to get connected with clients and companies from around the world.
How are they? So, all right. So let's, I like this. I like what I'm hearing here. And I'm relating this to conversations I've had recently about my kids in school, about one's in high school, but the middle one going into high school is, I want her to consider the tech school of the high school, because they focus on different skill sets and things that she likes, like graphic design and painting
STEM.
And all of that stuff. But there's this stigma around going to the tech school, like it's for the stupid kids or something to that effect. So it's interesting how do you think? I'm thinking, like, I should have went to tech school.
Me too.
Like I would have probably have started much quicker in life. Anyhow, so when you say skills, companies are looking for skills. Let's talk about that, because
professional skills.
Yeah, professional skills and things like that. What are you seeing your clients looking at? What are they looking for? What are those skills, and how are they leveraging Contra for that?
Totally. So it's really interesting to hear that there's kind of the stigma around technology education for kids these days. It almost seems like it would be the opposite, but
100%.
Well, if it's not in the regular school, right? It's in a separate building but I feel like that's where education's headed anyhow.
Yeah.
Different story, different conversation.
Yeah, I have a funny story to kind of go on that tangent, but before, I'll just answer your question around what are clients looking for. So whether it's video editing or software engineering or graphic design or product design or growth marketing, paid marketing, things like that, you know, employers are now thinking about their workers from a perspective of like, hey, what skills do you have? Like, what if you're an engineer, like what languages do you know? If you're a product designer, what tools do you use? And then like, what are the things that you've done in the past and how can you showcase that? And so we're moving from this world where it was like, hey, I did this amount of time at this company. Now I'm doing this amount of time at this next company, to, hey, I performed this, this project at this last company. I used these skills and like, this was the outcome. And the way that people are showcasing their identity is changing the way we think about hiring, thinking about changing the way we think about actually finding our next job, thinking about the way that we actually showcase our professional identity. So all of this is changing, and Contra is kind of at the forefront of all of this.
So my question's around, like, I think of skills personally, like with a half-life. like skills that I had 30 years ago versus the skills that I have today, right? And how do you verify, like if I'm self-reporting my skills, I'm probably thinking much of the wrong stuff, right? Like for instance, probably 15 years ago or so, I ran an ad agency for a decade. If I were to put that skill, management, leadership of an ad agency on, you know, on Contra, it would be fraud on some level because I did it, but I've been away from it for 15 life. So it's like, we don't talk about skills decay or like the skills that are additive and verifying, because I think of it three dimensionally, like there's a breadth and a depth and a width and all that stuff to a skill. And then there's a half-life to it, whether or not it's being reinvested in or whatever. And then there's the tangential skills. So if like running an ad agency was a skill, okay, but probably not, but let's say there was, then next to that would be running a professional services firm.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's these tangential skills as well. So just give us y'all's, because you started this for a reason. And it's we love skills, by the way. Both Ryan and I are buyers of skills. So, but you've wrestled with these ideas probably much more than we have. So, go into it.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, there's probably a lot of your past experience and your past skills that are still relevant today. Like, I think definitely running a services business, thinking about advertising. There's some skills in advertising that are timeless.
Right.
But the mediums that you're actually deploying ads on probably change. And so on Contra, you showcase your skills via projects that you've done, via case studies. And so, for example, when I first got started in my career in technology, I was actually an audio engineer. So I would produce music for small labels and Sony. And so, you know, now, instead of like putting, you know, those projects on my profile on Contra, I actually put my latest work. So I also produce all of the music for our launch videos. And so I will actually create detailed case studies, talk about the tools I use, talk about the skills that I apply to this project, and it can show my most recent work. So there is like, you know, recency that's very important with skills. And like, you know, some skills do ultimately, you know, like you can think about some programming languages that are no longer relevant.
Right.
But I bet you there's probably a lot of skills that you have from running your ad agency that are still very relevant that you could still you know, put on your Contra profile today, but that only depends if you're in the market for, if you're looking for someone to work with, that could make sense. Right. But I feel like you're probably on the employer side at this point.
At this point. Yeah. The verification of those things. So you just told us about putting some of your most recent projects on there. That's still self-reported, right?
Yeah.
There's no third party verification or someone that can, I mean, What was that bit about resumes, Ryan? Everybody lies on their resume, like on some level or another. It's like
I don't, but yes, most people do.
I it's nuancy. No, it's nuancy, right? You put led 150% sales growth, FY 23. Well, you were on a team of people. Right. Or you were with a team of people that did that, but it's reported as something that you did. So I would assume that most people look at it and they say that, and they don't think about it like we did it as a team. So I don't know if that's a lie or not. It seems seems close, but Ben, you're the expert here. How do people know that they actually really have that skill that they say they do?
Yeah, so there's a couple of factors that kind of go into your reputation on Contra. So part of it is your self-reported skills. And, you know, there could be skills inflation the same way there was resume inflation, the same way that there is economic inflation.
Let me
mark that clip.
Oh, my God. Resume inflation.
That's awesome. A shirt. Resume inflation. Powered by Workdefined.
You know, that's very real.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been something that people have been doing for forever, right? As you mentioned. But on Contra, there's also another variable, which is your actual paid project history. And so on Contra, you can get hired by clients and work with clients. And there's data behind that paid project and the outcome of that project. So let's just say you get hired for a skill. We also have that project history. So we know that how much have you earned for that skill? And then what was the outcome? Like, was it positive? Was it negative? And so there's a couple of different ways you can triangulate.
Ratings on both sides.
Exactly. Yeah. So you could say that, like, hey, I'm the biggest expert at this skill. It might not be true, but if you don't have any client work to back that up, then you probably won't have a lot of credibility there.
As an employer, sorry to cut you off, but I will.
That's okay.
So as an employer, can I then search and say, I need to find a skill set A who has generated X amount of revenue with X amount of rating for that specific skill, and then I can then dig deeper from there?
Probably skills and ratings.
Yeah, definitely skills, ratings, and then you can see how much someone has earned on the platform. Give you a good idea. And you can also read recommendations. There's also the qualitative side of it as well, right? So like the recommendations from other clients, like that also helps you kind of understand, you know, how good someone is. But what's really interesting about this kind of movement is that, you know, more people want flexibility with their work, whether they have a full-time job or not. They want flexibility. They want to be able to earn income, whether it's on demand or, you know, if they need extra income or they just want to go independent fully. And then more employers need access to more skills. If you even think about just like the use case podcast, you might need a video editor if like one of your video editors is out, or maybe you want someone who makes clips for TikTok or someone who makes clips for YouTube shorts, right? And like, those are probably not skills that you're going to hire full-time. They might be. You might find someone who can do everything, but there might just be like one-off use cases around certain campaigns and marketing. And I know ad agencies have always worked this way. You've always had like, you know, set groups of experts that you worked with on an as-needed basis, but this is where the world is going. And especially now with AI taking over the world of work, we're seeing more and more people default to contract as like the primary way of collaborating. And
that's on both sides. Yeah, talent wants to work that way.
Yeah.
And the employers want to work that way.
Yeah.
So resume inflation, I got to go back to that for a second. The first resume. Anybody have an idea of the first resume?
I feel like it's got to be BC, maybe, way back then.
Da Vinci, Leonardo. Right. Now, it would be interesting to go back and look at his resume and see if there's any inflation in there. My gut tells me he probably didn't have to inflate anything. However, it'd be interesting to see. So Ryan's had some recent Upwork experience or Fiverr experience, which
fucking awful. God. Let me just tell you.
He didn't get picked. So the funniest thing is he put his stuff out there, and he has really good skills in certain areas. And so, like, he thought, you know, I'll just put up my deal and I go here and I'll start getting some deal flow and, you know, and I'll start building up my ratings and revenue and all that stuff. No one picked him.
Nothing. I'm competing again. Even when, and I don't know that Contra runs this way, but with Upwork, they'll put it out there, you know, 100, 125 bucks an hour for the right skill set. So on the surface, it looks good. They wind it when you don't get the job, you go back and you look at it, they're paying 10 and 15 bucks an hour.
Wow.
It's like, it's insane. Yeah. And so I could just be Upwork feeling like, okay, states, those salaries in the states can't compete with the external talent, you know, talent from outside of the states. It's just not going to work.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the different skill set and the use case. Because for some skills, it can feel like a race to the bottom on sites like Upwork or Fiverr. Yeah.
Logo design.
I've heard Fiverr might be a bigger offender only because their branding is like Fiverr, and it's kind of the idea that it's like $5. I've heard mixed reviews on Upwork. I know it's like, I was a huge fan of Elance and Odesk, which ultimately merged to Upwork. That's actually how I got into this into this world in the first place. And so I've kind of seen the evolution here, and yeah, the world is going global. It's kind of crazy to think about. Like, there's literally,
you probably used guru.com back then too, right?
I never got to use guru. Okay. But I was like, Odesk and Elance seemed to be like the two that I was on. I didn't even know that they were going to eventually merge, but I was like kind of using both of them.
Right.
But yeah, it's tough. Like, you know, you have to develop your reputation as an independent. And then on Upwork, I guess, Ryan, how long did you try? Like, was it your first time ever going on Upwork? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we've hired there forever. So I'm like, well, I can do some of this. Let's try this out. Let's have fun. And I'll tell you, it was a race for the bottom. And it was not long.
You didn't get picked for the dance.
Yeah, I didn't get picked. I'm like, you know what? It's too much effort. Probably not. I'm probably doing it wrong. There's probably something I need to do. But the fact that you now have to pay to apply for jobs prevented me from going further and trying more, because I'm just wasting dollars trying to compete with people that I know I'm not going to come down to that salary. I want to do it as a side hustle, as fun, because I enjoy doing things. You're like, well, let's go try it. But I'm not going to do it at $5 an hour.
Yeah.
How
do you work with employers? Like, what's your, because it's a platform play. And so you've got buyers and sellers.
Yeah.
And I don't, but it's around skills, which is fantastic. All of it makes sense to me. But the employers that need to hire the talent or those skills, I guess we should probably just say that they need those skills for something. How do you work with them? What's the B2B play?
Yeah. So if you think back to when you were running your ad agency, you probably had a network of contractors and freelancers that you could tap into for any given project. So on the employer side, we built a tool that allows companies to manage their network of flexible talent. Of like independents and contractors. And so let's just say that you have an engineer that you love to work with, but you might need to work with this person maybe 3 to 6 months out of the year. You can actually run that relationship on Contra. It's completely commission-free. So we don't take a cut of the earnings on either side, and you pay a flat monthly fee to run your network. And so we integrate with things like QuickBooks, Xero, NetSuite. We help you basically manage your contractor and freelancer workflows, and really ultimately manage that network. And so we're seeing a lot more companies and really agencies too, kind of create these dynamic talent layers that they can scale up and scale down on an as-needed basis. And I think the perfect use case would actually be like the Use Case podcast. Like, you probably have like variable needs for video editors, for audio editors, maybe for graphic designers, maybe for engineers, there's people who do marketing, and you can build that network on Contra. It's private to your organization.
Right.
And then we have globally compliant contracts, global payments, on everything you need to actually work with this group of people. And we just make it really, really easy. And so like, that's how we kind of work with businesses today.
As an investor and advisor, I like the revenue model because it's MRR, ARR, as opposed to the burstable stuff where you get 1% of whatever the bid is. And you get some of it's two-sided, some of it's just one-sided, but that goes up and down. And so it's hard to then kind of actually build the business over time because it's not SaaS revenue.
Right.
So I love that. Have you had any trouble selling that into companies, like getting them to understand it's better to have this, you know, a monthly fee, like, you know, whatever the fee is, I'd have no idea what it is,
but
have the monthly fee rather than doing the burstable stuff, because we'll make more money, which ultimately isn't in your best interest.
Yeah. So right now the pricing is either $199 a month for like a smaller team of up to four people. You can share your workspace with four people, or if you want like unlimited and you want financial integrations, it's $499 a month. So it's pretty affordable. Like, people tend to think that it's very valuable. And then, the alternatives are typically, hey, like, you know, pay 10 to 15% of your spend, which can really balloon like crazy. And so we try to align the incentives with the platform to be more of like a workforce management tool than kind of that traditional GMV take rate model that, you know, eBay and then Elance and Odesk and now Upwork they all kind of use this kind of commission take rate model, which does make sense if you're trying to maximize revenue, but we're trying to maximize the longevity of the network. And so we think that the SaaS model makes a lot of sense since, and then over time, we're going to introduce newer products that could potentially create more value for that network that you're hiring.
Right. What size company is using Contra currently?
Yeah, so we work with startups, we work with creative agencies, we work with growth stage technology companies. It really varies all the way up to like we have people who have tried out our marketplace on the enterprise side. But I'd say our sweet spot right now would really be creative agencies that are around 50 people. Startups between 50 and 150 people tend to be the users who have the biggest use case for Contra today. But we're also seeing early stage startups start to use us a lot more. Like you can think about pre-seed all the way to Series A. Companies are starting to rethink the way they're hiring. They're rethinking the way that they're actually building out their teams. People are going more international.
They're being forced to rethink it because the talent doesn't want to go into an office. So some of this is since COVID, right? Some talent does. So first of all, we won't paint the whole world one brush. But some of it doesn't. So it's not just their philanthropic kind of desire to do something different for the talent. It's the talent's like, no, we're going to do this project. I'm going to be in Serbia.
Yeah.
And that just is what it is. I'll never come into an office. You don't need me to come into an office. But the question that I know that both of us have, probably the audience has as well, is what's the line of professional skills? So what's the demarcation of things that you have in Contra versus things that are like, there's a better platform for that somewhere else, et cetera.
Yeah. So we've seen some crazy jobs come through the platform. Like I think one time someone was looking for a medical illustrator, and funny enough, there was like someone who did medical illustration. Okay. That's probably not our sweet spot. We're mostly design, marketing, engineering, audio, video, focused. And so anything that has kind of the creative side, the product development side, that's where Contra really, really shines. And so, you know, funny enough, there are accountants, there are lawyers on Contra, but like, that's not our specialty. Yeah. I think if you're looking for an accountant, unless you're trying to truly offshore and find someone in another market, you're probably better off going to like a marketplace that really specializes in accounting. But anything for like product development, marketing, like I said, design, engineering, social media, that seems to be people find a lot of success on Contra looking for those roles.
Right. So Ben, who would you say you're competing against out there? Is this something, I'm going to forget these names, Marketer, is it, what's that one out there? Marketer?
It's your story.
Marketer Hire? Marketer Hire or something? Like, are you competing against people like these, or are there specifics in talent acquisition and recruitment that you're going up against, that you're seeing in deals?
Yeah, I definitely say we're competing against like the Upworks and the Fivers of the world. We're also competing against like the traditional staffing companies that like larger enterprises have used for the year, you know, throughout the, like for forever, right? Like the massive companies, like, I don't know, like Adecco, there's a couple of other ones that are pretty big. I think Marketer Hire is like a vertical marketplace. They only focus on marketers specifically. Yeah. I've actually heard really good things about their product. But once again, they're more of a staffing model where I think there is like a take rate, there's a commission fee. You know, I'd say like, there's also another side of it where like, there's like payroll service providers, people who like, well, like the Gustos of the world, the remote.coms of the world, who kind of handle like contractor management, but only that, you know, we really are trying to build a new type of network. And so like the way that we're trying to monetize is a bit unique, and there's like adjacent competitors in a lot of different areas, but I'd say like you could see Marketer Hire as competitive, but our business model is so different, and like our incentives are so different. We're looking to connect people and kind of form that idea that, hey, Contra is the place where you go to find skills, like we're the professional network for skills, the same way you would go to LinkedIn to try to find like sales leads or like certain people who have worked at certain companies. And so there's definitely some competitive elements there, but I think ultimately people typically would compare us to like a Fiverr or like an Upwork.
Got it.
And Ryan, the answer is biggest competitor is the status quo. It's people doing stuff the way they did it yesterday. All of the software plays combined aren't even a drop in the status quo bucket. So it's, you got a lot of change there to deal with. But the cool thing is COVID sped a lot of that stuff up for people because they still had to get stuff done and you had to work with people in a different way. So if there was a silver lining in COVID, that's probably one. I think the thing that people will have questions about is if you're handling the payments, you're handling kind of the legal infrastructure as well. What else makes you special? I'm not really thinking about your competitors as much as just you sticking out kind of for them, especially if they've never done it, because I'm assuming your budget comes from staffing. So they have a staffing budget somehow, and they use some of that staffing budget on this to just staff differently, right? I might be wrong about that.
No, that's right.
Okay. So then differentiation, I think one of the things that I generally ask entrepreneurs like yourself is, you probably have a whole sales team and all this stuff. You probably don't do a lot as much demos as you once did, but your favorite part of the demo, when you get to this place in Contra, you know that they're going to go, oh, okay, this is what's different. I got it. Like, what is that?
So I actually do a lot of demos. I'm still in the weeds. So if that's helpful.
Bless you.
No, it's fun. And it's fun to kind of show the world. My favorite part of the demo is actually showing potential customers how Contra uses Contra. And if that makes sense. So like we 100%. Are a team of 25 people and we have around 42 active contractors right now working across like marketing, engineering, social media, customer support, anything that you can imagine that a company needs. And so what I love to do is show them how we built our network, how that network supports us, what roles and skills we're hiring for. And then typically if someone, I'm like, hey, like, so what are you looking for? Like, what do you need help with? I can go over to our Discover or our search and find someone who's like the perfect fit. And they could be in their city or they could be local and they could have great recommendations. I think like the biggest differentiator for Contra is we've built a product that has aligned incentives from our business model. So we're commission free for both sides. So we're able to attract a higher end type of candidate that actually wouldn't go on Fiverr, that wouldn't go on Upwork. And so when companies are looking for, they're looking for a skill, like the person is still extremely important. In fact, it's most important. You want to know that you're working with someone that you can trust and someone who's really good, who's provided a great outcome for someone else. Like, just seeing the way that people react when they see the quality of like talent, the people that are actually on the Contra platform, I think that's usually my second favorite part. So one is like I said, showing people how Contra uses Contra. And then two, just showing them like, hey, like there's like so many great people here that you could work with. And it's just a little bit different than your average marketplace.
So do you say eat your own dog food or drink your own champagne?
Either one. You know,
okay.
All right. Definitely we call it dog fooding, but you know, we're not a champagne team yet, but I'd say, you know, both work.
You're getting there. So, all right, Ben, what are a couple questions? I'd say two. What are two questions that customers are not asking or potential customers are not asking during that demo period that you really want them to ask?
Yeah. Especially if they've never worked in this manner with talent. You know, it's change management, right? They've never worked. They've got budget. You can kind of agree they're overwhelmed by just you showing them how you work with it, et cetera. But there's still kind of a battery of questions that they should be asking you. And Ryan and I are always curious as to what those questions should be from your perspective.
Yeah,
what should they ask?
That's a great question. So Most people that come to Contra have worked with like freelancers, independents, have worked with contractors. And especially today, most people are looking to expand their contractor operations. And so we're seeing this the most at the enterprise level. Right. So people at the, you know, people who are about to go public or people who have like built these big organizations realize that like, hey, the way we've been hiring isn't really working. Like the people that we thought we needed, we ultimately had to let go and lay off. And that creates all these types of negative consequences. And it takes like months, sometimes even years to get over those. So the questions that I wish people would ask is, you know, like how should I think about my flexible talent strategy moving forward? I think a lot of people just assume like, hey, there's like contractors and there's full time. But I think the world of work is changing where there's like kind of like this third, there's like this almost like this third layer of employment that's happening that I think is going to become like the default, which is this idea of just like, it's just like flexible, right? Like people who still have context on your business. You still have a relationship with these people, but you might not need their time full time. And they might not want to be full time. And they might have a skill that's very in demand that a bunch of different organizations can use. It doesn't mean that like they're no longer like a part of your team. Like there's all these different like legal frameworks that are kind of the hangover from the way everything used to work. And we're now so tech enabled, everything is becoming AI powered, everything is, you know, becoming digital. I think there's just going to be something new that emerges. And I think that that's going to be the default way that people work together. And so
you mentioned, go ahead, finish your thought.
No, that's it. I think I just wish people would ask like, hey, like, how should I be thinking about this? And like, where is this? Like, where is this world going?
Right. So you mentioned funding, you mentioned IPO and also some other rounds of funding. You know, one of the things in due diligence that people look at is headcount.
Yeah.
So this is a way to kind of still get projects done, still get work done, but not have the headcount, the full-time headcount that people have. So first of all, that's just something to think about for companies as you're thinking about your talent strategy. Again, you might not need to hire that person full time. However, let me get to my question. The question is what the conversion in the old staffing model, if somebody did a project and maybe did another project and then the company fell in love with them and then they wanted to hire them, there usually was some type of conversion fee or success fee or something like that.
Right.
That's one question. Two, on the pricing model, that's the corporate side, $199, $499. Is there any pricing for the candidate side or, excuse me, the talent side?
Yeah. So for your first question, we've seen people who discover someone on Contra, they'll do a project and they'll fall in love and say like, hey, I want to hire this person full time. There is no success fee on Contra. Like, we're cool. Like truly a network. We're trying to connect people. We think you should be able to work with each other however you want. We're not the middleman. And we try to be like very anti-middleman. We want to be like more of like an open approach. So the same way that if you would have found someone on LinkedIn, LinkedIn's not going to take a success fee. Or if you found
like
someone. I mean, potentially.
Yeah.
Same with Twitter. Like if you found someone on, or sorry, X, like they're not going to take a success fee. So we try to imagine ourselves the same. Because like that creates word of mouth regardless. Like if you have a positive experience, you find someone great.
Yeah.
That's just going to create word of mouth. And then the second question was around monetization on the independent side. So we have a subscription called Contra Pro, which gets you access to analytics. It gets you access to certain opportunities and it gets you better placement in our Discover. But it's freemium, right? So it's free to earn money on Contra. You can use our free invoice tool, our free proposal tool. We have free contracts, free profile creation. It's really easy to be successful. And we're actually the main way people came to Contra in the first place was just using our payments tools. So as like someone who's going out to become an independent or a freelancer for the first time, you might need a proposal. You might need a contract. You might need an invoice. And so all of that is free on Contra. And if you want like better, it's almost like paying for better placement in the network. You can pay $29 a month and we'll boost your profile. And so, like I said, that's a freemium product as well.
Where are you getting, I could see pushback happening, right? We touched on it, but where are you getting the most pushback in the sales process when you're going into larger organizations or even your target, 50 to 100 people?
I'd say like with our target, there's less pushback. I think the biggest pushback is maybe they don't have a large volume of contractors and freelancers that they work with. So they might say like, hey, like I might need this for more of like a one-off use case. And that's okay too. If you want to have like a one-off use case on Contra, we just charge $19 per contract on the client side. And so we're totally fine with that. But at the biggest, at like the higher levels, like at the enterprise side, I think we're just such a new company that we don't have that reputation yet. And oftentimes when like people who like run a contingent workforce program, like an enterprise, like they're bringing in a new vendor and like their job's on the line. And so they need to know that like, hey, this is going to work. And as like a new company, there's always challenges there. I think the word you use was like change management, but we just need to continue to establish ourselves as thought leaders, as kind of like the go-to place for this use case. And it's going to happen over time. But yeah, I would say that like the biggest pushback is just obviously one being a new company. And then the second one is like not adapting to this way of working, but like because of all of the downward pressure from the markets, whether it's the funding markets, whether it's the public markets, whether it's from AI, people thought there was a recession that was going to happen. Some people say there was a recession. People are just thinking about like more efficient ways to build teams, and so we at least can have the conversation. People are more open to this style of working than they have been. On both sides, because having a full-time job in 2024 is no longer as secure as it used to be. And I think thinking about like hiring a ton of people is also no longer accepted. Right. And from like many different angles, right? Whether you're a publicly traded company or you're a private company that's VC backed. So people are open to having the conversations. It's just adapting to this way of working, I think, is going to continue to go mainstream. It already has. And then at the highest levels, we just need better. We just need to get our name out there. We got to keep going.
So, dumb question alert. Is the network that you have, is it closed? Because when you mentioned profile on the freemium side, you'll set up your profile. Yeah. And I'm sure that you set up your profile elsewhere. Can I get to that without going into I can Google that. I can find that person.
Yeah. Yeah,
so Ryan, question for you. Can you source that? Can you x-ray that or get that to, can a sourcer get to that data?
Sure. Yeah. If it's out there in public, but I would hope at this point companies are beyond trying to get stuff for free like this. Yeah. And actually probably not. However, I think the upside is much greater. For the amount of people that we'll find and do, the upside is much greater to to the company to
100%.
To just use.
I'm just thinking of the sourcing community or the recruiting community looking for a hack. They're trying to find somebody with video production skills, etc. And if it's an open network, they go and can find that person, those skills.
So a good use case here is, I think it's called Codable, right? The WordPress site. Mm-hmm. Is it Codable? I think it is. Try to rip them out and they're going to say no. They're not interested because they are fed so much work. They're vetted properly.
Right.
And they're fed so much work at a high level and a high dollar amount. There's no reason for them to go out and work directly
with. So you
can
find them. But so what?
Yeah, they'll say, here's my link on Codable. Put the job in, invite me to work. You don't have to make it public. Because why do they want to deal with me as a knucklehead trying to push them to do things when I'm, as an employer, I'm held accountable for what I'm hiring and how I'm communicating and all of that stuff. And they take care of payments and processing and all that. Yeah. No, you'll have – so to answer your question, you're going to have some knucklehead sources out there that'll do that.
right,
and convince them. But in the end, I think Ben, you're right. This flexible work, this is the way of the future. I think this is now. It's not necessarily the future, it's now. And people now have trust in the systems that it's going to work. And so they stick with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And William, to answer your question, we're 100% indexable. Like if you search for someone's name, oftentimes if they're on Contra, like their Contra profile will rank just as a LinkedIn or a Twitter, and you can go to contra.com/discover and you can search for whatever you want. And then we don't limit that. Like we want to connect people. We want to connect people to opportunity. Right. We think that is ultimately going to compound, and over time, like enough word of mouth will happen. Enough people have a good experience that they'll say like, hey, you should probably be on Contra, or hey, you should use Contra. And we're starting to see that happen in a big way.
So Ryan touched on it a little bit. It's a two-sided marketplace. You're looking for the independents and the employers, right? So it's almost B2C because you're trying to get both of those characters to get on Contra, sign up for it, and then get into it and start doing their bit. What are you doing to attract? It's probably a different thing for both audiences, but what are you doing to attract those two kind of different types of groups of people?
Yeah, so we started with the independent side. We started attracting people who were going independent, looking to go independent, and we built up, I guess you could call it, the supply side of the platform first. And that in itself attracted the demand side in a big way. And now there's almost like this third user who's coming to the platform. So you have like companies and you have independents. Now there's like this third type of user, which is software tools. So tools like Framer, tools like Spline, like Webflow, all these different, like WordPress would be another example. These tools who have expert communities who rely on freelancer adoption for their tool adoption. We're starting to see these tools come to the platform and create expert networks on Contra. Oh, cool. That's another offering that we've seen has also been able to attract clients too. We just launched an expert network with a product called Rive, and they do like animations for like game development, really for anything for the web. It's really cool, but there's a lot of companies like Duolingo. You know the little owl that Duolingo has? That's built in Rive. And so like there's companies who are looking for people who know Rive specifically. And when they look for Rive experts, they come to Contra. And I think that's another way that we're seeing companies find Contra as well. We launched an expert program with Framer, which is like a competitor to like a WordPress or like a Squarespace. They're amazing. They're like blowing up. Now when people are looking for like a Framer developer or Framer expert, they come to Contra. And so we're seeing like this ecosystem evolve where, you know, having those skills, having that expertise is kind of this new currency. And there's just like a huge market for it, like massive, like global too. And so we're just trying to, you know, like I said, we're just trying to become like the most frictionless place to find skills, to like define these relationships. And so I'm curious, like how you both use Upwork. You should probably use Contra. Like you could probably find some great people.
Well played. Yeah. Well played. It just kind of snuck it in there too. Yeah. Get off that antiquated.
He said he does a lot of demos.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's still in the weeds. That's good.
I got one last question for me. Ryan's probably got something. Success. It's for 24. We're almost a quarter in, right?
Yeah.
So you get to the end of the year. Let's just say you're on the calendar year. What's success for y'all?
Yeah. So we've had over 20,000 companies and clients use Contra, but we want to get a lot more companies using our paid product because we think it's super valuable. So I think, you know, for us, we'd love to get thousands of companies using our Contra for Companies product. And, you know, we're at around 700,000 independents on the platform today. We'd like to get into the millions. You know, we think that Contra is just a better platform all around. Obviously, we want to balance it, you know, supply and demand, but we have so many great tools for independents to use to run their business that I think it's a win-win. And then finally, you know, kind of expanding our expert programs. you know, we have a lot of cool expert programs and programs in the works. We're doing one with Wix. Hopefully we can do one with Webflow. Hopefully we can, we have one launching with Descript, which is like this AI video editor. So we want to continue to like expand our expert networks and then potentially bring in expert communities, because I think where the world is going, you know, LinkedIn is, it's hilarious. Like it's a lot of humble bragging. It's a lot of self-promotion. It's a lot of sales content, but like people still need to connect with other people around topics. And one of those topics really is expertise with a certain tool. So let's just say that you are a WordPress developer and that's how you make your money. You probably want to talk to other WordPress developers to understand right. like how, what they're doing, to get inspiration. And so we want to bring that social component to Contra as well. So we want discussions and like almost like Reddit style forums around different expert networks and tools to continue to support our community. So that would be really cool to launch this year. We have it in the works, but more to come there.
And I like that. I like the social aspect of it, because I'm, as you're saying that, I'm thinking Facebook groups. A lot of these developer communities have Facebook groups, especially all of the WordPress marketplaces that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But as you go into them, it becomes a sales thing. It's like, yeah, here's my portfolio. Anyone need help with this? And then all of a sudden you've got 22,000 people in the group. And it's no longer useful for doing the developing to actually have meaningful conversations. So I do like that. I think that is a huge upside. There is a huge upside there for you. Ben, I think this was fantastic, man. I love what you guys are doing. I want to see it actually in like on screen and demoed. I want to actually see that. So I'm probably going to tap you for that. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll find some people to help us. But yeah, man, hey, thank you so much for coming on. If y'all still listening, please subscribe, take a look at us everywhere. If you see us out, say hello, give us some love, and we'll wave back to you.